this world. You know, as I look back in my own life and I reflect on some of my Christmas memories, I really have some fond memories. I really enjoy this time of year. Spending some time with my family again this year, something that I've really been looking forward to. I'm excited to be able to do that. As I've grown older, I've noticed how the excitement is still there, but it's getting different. It's starting to change. There's different things that I'm excited about. When I was little, it used to be all about the presents, and now it's more about family than I think it's ever been. My sister is married, and she's got two kids and a baby on the way, so I get to watch my nephew and my niece open their gifts the way that I used to. They get to tear into those gifts the way that I used to, and it's really fun and exciting. I got married to my wife, and now I have an entire new family that I get to spend the holidays with, and that's been an incredible joy as well. It's all so special, and there really is a lot to be excited about. I'm sure you would agree that Christmas is really wonderful for so many different reasons. There's so many great things. The time spent with family is so sweet, and the food that's shared is always so good. There's so many great things. The cold weather, the lights, the snow, maybe not the snow, I don't know. For me, I wish the snow would come down and just a nice calm blanket would just cover the ground for a white Christmas and then it would just go away. That would be my perfect Christmas, but we know it doesn't really work that way. So this year, I'm thankful for a green Christmas. All those things are great, but we all know that's not what Christmas is about, right? The festivities are fun, they're exciting, they're a true blessing, but that's not why we should get excited about Christmas. Christmas is about celebrating the coming of the Messiah to rescue the world. And it's about anticipating that great day when Jesus is going to come again and he's going to make all things right. During our time together this evening, I want us to talk about three challenges that'll really help us to make the most out of this Christmas. Three challenges. Here's the first. Recognize the truth of Christmas. Recognize the truth of Christmas. I want us to think about Christmas really in the broadest and the fullest sense, not just Christmas Day, not just the event, but I want us to think about the first Christmas and the significance of the season. I want us to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. I want us to see the reason for the season, and that's Jesus, God incarnate, coming to the earth to fix what mankind broke. You know, the first ever Christmas was an event that was a long time coming. There had been promises. The people of God, they were familiar with different promises that had been given hundreds of years before. Before any manger, before any angels, before the wise men, before the star, they trusted in God and the promises that he had given that one day a Savior would come. They trusted God's faithfulness. They believed that he was going to come through. We know the traditional story that we're familiar with, that finally in the little city of Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary, a young couple, they find themselves in a farm shed behind an inn that was too full to even accept a pregnant woman. So there they were, and it was there in that manger that the Savior of the world was laid. The God of the universe who came to us as a vulnerable baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. There's more than one account of this miraculous story in God's word. We can see it throughout the Gospels. But today, I want us to visit this moment from a different vantage point. I'd like for us to see what we can learn from an account that doesn't really have the traditional characters. I want us to actually focus in the Gospel of John, where there's not so much the familiar story. Let's look at the Gospel of John, the first chapter, beginning in verse 9. It says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." So the way that this version of the Christmas story goes is that there's a light that enters the world. This light was born in a world that was dark and full of actual sin and brokenness. This wasn't just any light, but this was the true light. This was the kind of light that everyone had been waiting for. When Jesus arrived on the scene, it was a fulfillment of promises given long ago. People had been waiting to see these promises fulfilled, but the good news is that it was worth the wait. The book of Isaiah talks about a day where a light was going to dawn. There would be a light that comes to show Jesus to the world, a world full of sin and brokenness. To all these people who were living in incredible darkness, a light was going to come. When Jesus came, he was the light that brought peace. He was the light that was so desperately needed in a world that was full of sin and chaos and brokenness. This light brought love to humanity who had really failed to recognize God. Jesus was known in the scriptures as the light of the world, and like any light, light has a purpose. And Jesus came to accomplish certain things. What he wanted to do is to reveal darkness in all of the corners of our lives. He wanted to be able to show that, not so that we'd feel guilty, not to feel shame, but so that we would experience healing that can come from Jesus. He also came to shine a light on the right way to live. We know that when we're in darkness, it can be hard for us to see the path that we need to walk, but Jesus is the light that can illuminate our very path. He can help us to see and navigate. The birth of Jesus is that light. While many of us are familiar with that great story of the baby born in a manger, one of the reasons that we see lights everywhere is to be reminded that Jesus is the great light who came into a dark and broken world. Jesus is the light who really can help people who are otherwise enshrouded in total darkness. John gives us a warning within the passage that we're reading about some of the dangers of what can happen if we fail to recognize Jesus as the true light. Let's look at verses 10 and 11 of John 1. It says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." So when Jesus miraculously comes into the world, a world that was created through him and was held together by him, the world didn't see him for who he truly was. The world missed the memo, so to speak. They weren't able to see. They had been waiting for this Messiah to appear. They knew the promises that had been given, and yet the majority didn't recognize him. They missed him. But why? How could this happen? How did Jesus manage to fly under the radar? We talked about this earlier in our Christmas series, but unfortunately, the real reason, one of the main reasons that they didn't recognize Jesus for who he was, is that they had a picture in their mind of what the Savior was supposed to look like, and Jesus didn't meet their expectations. You see, he wasn't the kind of Savior that they were hoping for. They were looking for this great and powerful military conqueror who could come along and overthrow all of their oppressors. He wasn't the activist that they wanted who was going to come and lead the Jews in protest against all oppression. That's what they were looking for, and yet they had all those ideas, but Jesus comes as this vulnerable baby. And that's not at all what they had expected. What they didn't realize is that what God had promised is so far beyond anything that they could possibly hope or wish for. Jesus was exactly what they needed. More powerful than any military conquest or any activist rallies was the humble birth of God in the flesh and the sacrificial life that he lived that would free the world from sin. That's what we truly needed. That is the light that came into the world in Bethlehem. This is what humanity needed. It's what they've been waiting for, but many failed to recognize him. I don't want us to make that same mistake. I want us to recognize the truth of Christmas, the importance of who Jesus is and what he means to us. So let's recognize that the truth of what Christmas is truly about. I'm so thankful that we have all these incredible ways to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and I'm all for celebrating Christmas in fun and creative ways, but let's not allow Jesus' birthday party to be more significant and important than Jesus himself. We can't allow ourselves to do that. This year, this season, what if, with intentional thoughts and actions, we truly took the time to recognize and acknowledge Jesus for being the true and the great light in a world full of brokenness, that he is the reason for Christmas? Our first challenge is that we need to recognize the truth of Christmas. And our second challenge is to receive the gift of Jesus. Let's receive the gift of Jesus. You see, Jesus came to rescue his fellow Jews. He wanted to give them hope that they could take to the ends of the earth, but they didn't accept him. They didn't receive him. His life was that gift that was never truly received. I think it's fair to say at this point, most of us who are going to wake up tomorrow and celebrate Christmas by giving gifts and opening gifts, if you're doing that, it's probably a safe bet that by this point, you're mostly done. Maybe you have some last-minute wrapping to do, but probably most of you have your presents wrapped. They're under the tree. I know some people even open one on Christmas Eve, or a couple. Most of us are probably finished by now, but I would dare to say that there isn't a single person who tomorrow, when they open gifts, I doubt anyone's going to see a gift with their name on it and just ignore it, not open it. That's pretty absurd, right? I don't think anyone would do that. Imagine when you're taking turns opening your gifts and everyone opens theirs and it gets to be your turn and you just say, nope, I'm good. I don't think there's a single person who's going to do that. It's pretty crazy to even think about it because gifts are meant to be received. That's what we do. Gifts are truly meant to be received. And Jesus is the greatest gift we could ever hope to receive. He's the greatest gift we could ever be offered, and we need to receive him. Don't miss the gift of Jesus. Don't miss him this year. Notice that I'm not saying just don't miss the gift of salvation. Salvation is something I'm so incredibly thankful for. I'm so grateful that Jesus lived a sinless life and he died the death that you and I deserved for our sin. I'm thankful for that. But salvation is really just a portion of what Jesus offers us. What Jesus offers us is himself. He's offering us relationships. So when I'm talking about receiving him, the gift of Jesus is more than just salvation, but it's an intimate relationship. It's the best friend you could ever have. It's the Lord and Savior that you can interact with, you can pray to, you can have him be a part of your life in such an intimate way. He's offering himself, and we need to receive him. I don't want anyone to leave today without recognizing this incredible gift and receiving the gift of Jesus. Don't miss it. Jesus was born into the world for all people. It means you and it means me. He came to free us from our sin. He came to rescue us because without him, we're stuck in our sin with no way out. He came to shine the light of hope, of peace, of joy, and of love into our lives. Don't miss him. Receive him into your life. For someone, that might mean salvation, that first initial experience, receiving forgiveness of your sins. But for a lot of us tonight, the invitation is not just salvation, but it's actually entering into a more intimate relationship with Jesus. It's greater depth. It's greater intimacy. That's the invitation that Jesus is saying, I want you to receive this. John goes on to tell us why the gift of God in Jesus Christ really needs to be opened. So let's look at John 1, 12 through 13. It says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So to those who receive Christ as the greatest gift of God, they're given the right to be a part of his family, to become his children. And that's different from children born to an earthly father and mother, but we actually get to be spiritual children of the divine. That is our right when we are accepted into God's family. God becomes our father, and in his love and mercy, he forgives us, provides for us, he guides us and rescues us and protects us. Don't we desperately need that? If we're the children of God, more than that, we're even given access to an inheritance that God has for us. Not only do we get an eternal home, but we'll get a resurrected body, and we also get joy unspeakable. That's the inheritance that awaits the children of God. The blessings of God can truly be made manifest in our lives if we will receive him. That's what we need to do. So this Christmas, don't miss the light that's come into the world. Don't miss Jesus, who came as the true light to save us and to rescue us. He's come to offer us fullness of life if we will but receive him. John 1:14 says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. There's something significant in this verse that I want us to notice, and that's not only is Jesus called the light, but he's also called the Word. You'll notice that it's capitalized. That's because Jesus, he's the Word, because everything that was written about him is actually fulfilled in him. All the prophetic prophecies, all the promises given to God to man are made true in Jesus Christ. So we get to see God's Word in the flesh. If you're ever wondering what does God look like, we don't have to look any further than Jesus. He is God, and he's the perfect representation of God. And he came full of grace and truth. So this year, will you receive him? If you've never taken the step, there will be an opportunity for you. But all of us who have experienced salvation, Jesus is extending that incredible invitation of closeness, of intimacy in the relationship, if we will receive him. Our first challenge is to recognize the truth of Christmas. Our second is to receive the gift of Jesus. And here's our third challenge. Reveal the glory of God. Reveal it. Jesus meets us with such grace, and he reminds us that we're loved for who we are, not just who we're supposed to be. He loves us immediately, right now, no matter where we're at. That said, Jesus also meets us with truth, and he gives us an incredible realization that we can be more than we are right now. He can actually come into our lives and help us to become the people that he's created us to be. The truth of Jesus will reveal sin in our hearts and our lives, and the grace of Jesus wipes it away. And then he'll make us new. He'll shine into our lives, and he'll cleanse us and purify us and make us new. The beauty of Christmas is not just that Jesus shines into us, but we can actually go out and shine in the world. We can reveal the glory of God by him shining through us. He shines in us and through us. He's calling us to be light in the darkness, to actually make an impact to people who are living in total darkness. If you look at the world, it's easy to become overwhelmed by the suffering and by the pain and by the darkness that is truly in the world. But Jesus wants us to spread hope, joy, peace, and love to the world all around us. As followers of Jesus, we're called to give the world those promises that we've received. And we reveal God's glory when we live like the people that he's created us to be. It doesn't mean we're perfect people, but it means we're partnering with God to do what he's called us to do and become who he's called us to become. When we love other people and serve other people and encourage other people, when we live like Jesus, the world will take notice. That's something that they're going to see. It's like flipping the lights on in a dark room. Suddenly you can see things you didn't see before. The world is going to notice when we live like Jesus. I want us to look at the book of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul gives us some real practical instruction for how we can actually live this out. What does it mean to live like Jesus? Let's look at Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." So if we want to reveal the glory of God, then we need to live as children of light. That's our new identity. No longer are we children in darkness, but we're children of light. Therefore, our lives must be marked by goodness, by righteousness, by truth, and an active mission to please God. Notice the action language that Paul is using here. He's saying there's things that we need to do. We need to actively find out what pleases the Lord. The question that obviously comes to mind is, how do we do that? How do I find out what pleases the Lord? Like any relationship, it requires getting to know each other. It requires spending time with each other. When I think about my relationship with my wife, Taylor, I know her, she knows me, and that didn't happen immediately. We had to go through this process of getting to know one another. Now I know what pleases her, and she knows what pleases me, and I know what she doesn't like as well. We have a healthy relationship. The more time I've spent with her, the more I've learned some of these things. We've grown close and we love each other, and now we're in a good place where I know what pleases her and what doesn't. Sometimes it's actually really easy to find out what pleases her, because she'll come up and say, It pleases me when you put your dishes in the dishwasher, not the sink. That's pretty easy. I can say, noted, I got that one. And before I got married, I didn't know you could fold towels wrong. But I learned real quick, there's a special right way to fold towels. Now I know what pleases her. Our relationship with God really does work in a similar way. When you spend time with God, you get to know him. You spend time in prayer, spend time in his presence and in his word. You're going to get to know him and you'll learn what pleases him. He's going to help us along in that journey. You know, I think sometimes we get it in our head that there's got to be some sort of secret. There's got to be some special recipe for how I can get intimate in my relationship with God. But really, it comes down to doing what we know we ought to do. It's not always a secret recipe. It's just doing those things that we know we ought to do. A few verses later in Ephesians 5, Paul gives us an idea of what it really looks like to live in the light. So let's look at verses 15 through 20. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most out of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we reveal the glory of God when we actually live our lives with wisdom and when we take advantage of the opportunities that God brings to us. There's opportunities all around us. We know the days are evil. We reveal God's glory when we live according to his will and we take steps to partner with him to see his kingdom advance. When we're people who are filled and led by his Spirit, when our lives are marked by worship and by praise and by the fruit of the Spirit, that's actively pleasing God. That's how we partner with him. That's how we reveal the glory of God to a dark world. We're being light in the darkness. I want to ask the worship team to come back at this time. We're going to respond in just a few moments.